Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode. And I'm not kidding when I say exciting. We've got a lot of things to talk about this crazy, crazy world, right, Clay? It's pretty bonkers out there.
Yeah, I mean, another good week of material being provided for us. We didn't even have to look for it. So yeah. Can't wait to get into it.
Yes, same. It's going to be a blast. So stick around, guys. My goodness. So, you know, we're professionals here and we have our topics planned out pretty much. Usually we know what we're going to talk about. And then they throw us a curveball.
Yep.
And they have something pretty crazy happen. And so we're going to kind of talk about that first very briefly, and then we'll move into our topics. But let's talk about it. Kevin McCarthy, he is out of here, and pretty unceremoniously. Well, I guess ceremoniously.
Yeah, I think processorially, I think it's probably the right term.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Matt Gaetz did procedurally what you would do, right? He said he was going to do it. It wasn't a shock that it came today. Mm-hmm. You know, up front, not, you know, a guy with not necessarily a stellar reputation himself, Mr.
Right.
Representative Matt Gaetz, you know, and then offers up the, I don't know, it's not a motion. What is it? He offered up, you know, he wanted a vote, whatever, he called for a vote, you know,
yeah.
Star Wars movie, the vote of no confidence in the speaker, and it passed. And Mr. McCarthy is now, you know, he's not necessarily out of a job, but he's out of that job.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little bit, it's stunning and it's not stunning. Right. And, you know, people always capture the best pictures. This is him. And that's about how it's pretty much how he's feeling right now, I'm thinking. Yeah. You know, I mean, based on everything. And like I say, you know, there's going to be so much to talk about this, and we'll save it for, you know, another episode when we find out next steps. And because this is unprecedented, this has never happened. And it's made the first for everything category. But you know, he has not had a lot of popularity. I mean, he got in by the skin of his teeth. No one's been very happy with him. And you know, I agree with you. Gaetz is he's an interesting figure for sure. He can be he can make enemies pretty quickly. But like you said too, he said what he was gonna do and he did what he said. So something to be said for that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because of the chaos and the aftermath. I mean, like you said, right. Unprecedented, you know, so now they've got to install a new speaker. So they'll have to go through that entire process, right, which is going to take, you know, a vote. And it's not like, you know, when speakers traditionally turn over, it's because there's been a turnover in majority of the House. Or somebody has announced that they're retiring, which again is even, you know, is rare in and of itself. So there's preparation. There's people know it's coming. You know, they know who at least is, you know, the targeted next speaker. You know, McCarthy was in this crowd when, you know, when Pelosi, you know, moved out and the Democrats lost the majority. Right. So, you know, this is out of the blue. So if it's not McCarthy, then who is it? And to be honest with you, I don't have a clue. I really don't.
I don't either. You know,
yeah.
Yeah. I took to the good old rumor mill there over on X, formerly Twitter. And, you know, just to take a glance to see who everybody was throwing out there. And I saw J.D. Rucker threw out Alan West's name. Of course, you got your large handful throwing Trump's name out there. And, you know, who the heck knows? Who the heck? I don't expect it would be Trump by any means. But
I mean, it can't be unless he's going to get elected to a seat.
And you know what? And just very quickly, I kind of actually forgot about until right this second. That's another thing. not really even worth talking about other than just mentioning, but Supreme Court dismissed the whole, or won't even consider the whole notion of disqualifying him. So that's, and but there's so many suits and motions. I mean, I don't even, that's why it's barely even worth mentioning, but mentioning it anyway for those who care, for those who are keeping score.
Yeah. And somebody is.
Somebody is. And yeah, bully for them. And I thank them for doing that, because then I'll just use their information.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see whose name gets thrown out there, though, and who really becomes the front runner. You know, is it going to be a new blood junior, you know, younger? Is it going to be an old hat? You know, who's it going to be? And I think it's going to matter. But I think it's very indicative of this entire, you know, not just the administration, but the direction that the Capitol is going as a whole, is it's just complete and utter chaos on a daily basis. Yeah. Every time you think it can't get worse, it does.
Yeah, it feels like some political version of the Maury Povich show. You know, it's just crazy. Yeah, I mean, you've got Fetterman in shorts, you've got, you know, somebody getting kicked out of their job. The list is so long of things that make your head explode.
And carjackings. I mean, you're going to represent if it gets carjacked, right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. This is like, Days of Our Lives, Washington, D.C. version.
I mean, like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our politicians' lives.
You know, as soon as we have a twin marrying his own twin, you know, with a brain transplant and you know, that kind of, then this will really hit home. But it is very Absolutely. Soap opera-ish. It really is.
They couldn't have scripted this better if they tried, because it just, we're all, I wish we could just sit back with our popcorn and enjoy the show, but unfortunately we're all profoundly affected by all of their shenanigans. Yep. So, you know, that's the damn shame of it. But speaking of damn shames, we'll move into our next topic. Now, I feel a little guilty about this one, because I feel like we keep picking on your Chicago. Not the first time. Yeah.
Self-inflicted wound, right? And that's exactly what this is a self-inflicted wound. And I do have tons of friends and family, you know, back in the greater Chicagoland area. I do still have some great friends and close connections that work in CPD, Chicago Police Department, and our first responders in the greater Chicagoland area. And I hear stuff every single day. I kid you not, every day, you know, it's, hey, this is my district, or hey, this is my whatever, you know, this is going on. And it's a new film clip. It's a new, and it's a lot of it, I hate to say it, is literally people driving by with their phone out the window of their own car. This isn't stuff they're pulling off the news, off of TikTok, off of Instagram. This is like sent direct to me, filmed from their own personal device. And it's stuff that you just can't make up.
Oof. Yeah, it's pretty bad. And if you don't know where we're going with this, by the caption, if you don't know, O'Hare International Airport is essentially sheltering, well, not essentially, literally sheltering hundreds of illegal immigrants. I think it said mostly from Venezuela, if that matters or not, because they don't have a facility or any place to put them. So they're just piling up there. And I guess they're in a shuttle bus center. They're sleeping on cardboard, and they're using the airport bathrooms for all of their needs. Now, the last I checked, airport bathrooms don't have showers. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of layers here. One, just the horror of it, really. I mean, just the idea of people being cattled into and crammed into a small space, a relatively small space for the numbers. You have the health and safety issues. I mean, there's a lot here. And talking about, you know, this is yet another city, another Democrat-run city that's doing the whole open arms, come to us, come to us. Oh, we need federal help now because we can't handle it. So somebody help us. We don't know what to do. And that's what's going on. It's awful.
And it gets worse than that. I mean, the O'Hare thing is very blatant. It's out there. It's being covered. But it's worse than that. Again, friends, close ties to, you know, Chicago Area Police Department, Chicago Police Department itself. You know, I have heard stories of, you know, these folks, these, you know, illegal immigrants that have been bussed up from Texas, mostly to actually all from Texas. I've heard of them and seen photos of them, homeless encampments. I'm not kidding you, right outside the door of police stations, like on the sidewalk in front of the police station. I've heard stories of illegal immigrants ODing inside of police stations, like in police station bathrooms. So they're, like you said, at O'Hare, it doesn't, you know, there's no facilities or limited facilities. You got people living in tents on the sidewalk in front of a police station. They walk into the police station, use the bathroom, shoot up, overdose in a police station. Like, that's how out of hand this is getting so very, very quickly. And it's really, you know, Chicago is I hate to say turning into the next San Francisco, but that's the direction that it's going, you know, and I know we're starting to see some turns, right? New York, the governor of New York, a turn. I don't know if you heard this one. President Bill Clinton said, this is a non-starter. They have to start earning their way. They have to start paying taxes. They have to get jobs. Bill Clinton, you know, I mean, the biggest name you and I talked about, you know, name recognition.
That's huge.
You know, yeah. For him, it's to turn on the party itself and really the direction the party is going, about open borders and bring them all in and we're going to house them. But you're starting to see the backlash even within the Democratic Party, where everybody is finally coming to the same conclusion that most of us saw coming, that we can't, as a nation and as individual cities and states, can't handle the influx. It's the infrastructure's not there. The funding's not there. It's just a horrible, horrible idea. And truthfully, the plan from the governor of Texas worked to a T. Exactly the effect he was trying to get, 100%. That it's a home run. It's a grand slam. It had exactly what he wanted every other state, every other sanctuary city to feel is exactly what's going on. And good for him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It had to be done because, as is typical, they don't care about anything that doesn't affect them personally and immediately. And that really was the only way. I mean, because nothing else was working, obviously, you know, not telling them, not asking for it, not the videos, not the, you know, the live stream videos of the border crossings and the filth and the crime and all of the things that were going on. None of that had any effect on, because it didn't affect them, didn't matter to them. And now that it's in their backyard, you know, now they're all begging for help and saying enough is enough. And, you know, it's a damn shame that that's what it takes to make an obvious point. And it, like you said, it has been obvious to the rest of us all along that this is, you know, unsustainable, impractical, and pretty much impossible, along with flat out being unsafe, you know, and uneconomical. I mean, we can go down the list of uns probably for the entire episode of all of the things that why this is a bad, bad idea. And, you know, and you could even go into the hypocrisy of, you know, going all the way back to the COVID mandates and everyone having to be vaccinated and you can't travel. But, you know, we can keep those borders open and let undocumented, unvaccinated people in. So, you know, where's your, you know, balance here? That doesn't make much sense. And it never did to anyone, except for those Democrats.
It's a great example. It's a single issue microcosm, for lack of a better term, of the coastal blue attitude towards, you know, what's commonly known as the flyover states, right? You know, oh, everything in middle America doesn't exist. It doesn't matter, because if it doesn't happen on the coasts, then they don't pay attention to it, whether it was New York, you know, or obviously the entire West Coast, and because it didn't affect them, right? So really, it wasn't a real thing. So this is same exact thing, right? It was only happening in Texas. It was maybe a touch in a little bit, New Mexico, Arizona, Southern California, it wasn't really a big deal, but it was really hitting Texas hard, and they shared the wealth. And right. and now it's relevant, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a Texas problem anymore. It's not a flyover state problem anymore. It's a national problem, and it's hitting everyone. And it's hitting everyone who never expected it to happen. New York, thousands of miles away from the border, you know, Boston, you're hearing it all over the place. And it
all and over the good. Place.
Yeah. It's a reality slap.
And, you know, as a matter of fact, there are, you know, several other cities, including Boston. There was a few others too. They all rejected the whole airport sheltering. They said, absolutely not. And Chicago said, no, sure, we can do that. That'll work. Clearly not. You maybe remember back around this time last year when I think it was Governor Abbott and DeSantis both pulled a couple hilarious fast ones. DeSantis sent a whole gaggle of them over to Martha's Vineyard. Remember that?
What I wouldn't give for the migrants. Oh, I don't even know where to begin. I'm sorry. What? They're here on the island. Like now. Oh, well, I wouldn't give my home. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. We need to find somewhere to send them because they can't stay here. Just can't. There's no room here. There's nowhere for them to stay. We can barely accommodate ourselves, let alone extra.
Yeah, sure do.
Lasted a whole 48 hours before they got them booted right off. They booted them like McCarthy. And who was it? Was it Abbott who sent him over to Kamala Harris's house? I can't remember who sent him over, but one of them did.
One of them did. Yeah, I don't remember which one it was. But yeah, same thing. Yeah, it's you put it on somebody's doorstep and they're going to notice.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, absolute intent and absolute intent achieved. So good for them.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I'll state the obvious because somebody's going to jump in and say, you guys are so callous. You're so uncaring. No, it's the exact opposite. It's because we care enough to want these people to be treated better and treated justly, as well as the people who live here and not have our people burdened by things that we can't handle. These are unsafe situations, not only for Americans, but for these people. You know, you have minors and elderly people that are part of these illegal migrations. They are completely unprotected in every possible way and unsafe. Yep. We already know about the child trafficking and all that's going on with that. This is just another way for these things to happen to these people because they're not protected. They're not documented. They're just here, you know?
And this is not political asylum. In the hundreds of thousands, this is not political asylum. Don't let anybody get it sideways. These are people who are moving here, whether, you know, they just want to, whether they are looking for a better life, whether they're being paid to. We could go down that road. Whatever it is, this has nothing to do or very, very little to do in the masses of political asylum or safety. It's not in the hundreds of thousands. If you're in the thousands, the four digits maybe across all of Central and South America, okay, right. I get it. Mm-hmm. But in these numbers, it's not political asylum. That has nothing to do with it. You'll never convince me that that's what it is. Because if it was, you'd have governments collapsing. All of these nations that they're coming from, all of them would be collapsing if this was really about political persecution and, you know, these people fleeing for their safety and all those things. Those countries it wouldn't just be a bad economy in Venezuela. It would be much, much more than that. And it would be rampant across all of Central and South America. And that's not going on. So I don't buy it.
No, I don't either. I think they're coming because simply they can and they know a free ride, you know, when they see one. And, you know, and I you touched on the, you know, there's some incentives to get them to do what they're doing. And all of those things, there's a lot of layers here and none of it is as simple as, but the only end answer or the end result to it is it's bad. It's bad for everyone. So.
Everybody. Yeah, for sure. Even, you know, and you touched on it too. Even those people that do come across and get put on a bus and get shipped up to O'Hare, they're living in unsafe and unsanitary conditions. Period. Right. They haven't moved for the better. This has not, you know, maybe the only difference is now they are living inside versus outside in a camp sitting on the border between Mexico and Texas. That, right. That's it. That's the improvement of their life. But in the meantime, this is not good for anybody, including those people that have come across the border.
It's awful. It's really, honestly, I think it's inhumane. I think it's cruel. And I know people are going to say, well, they chose to come over here. Well, I agree, but they're still human beings, you know, worthy of dignity and respect. And the only way that can be done is if things are done the right way. Simple this is as correct. That, you know? So Clay, you and I could run the country. Everything's pretty simple, really. I mean, it's just all comes down to common sense.
Could we? Yes. I think with the help of a somewhat decent Congress, I think we could. Would I want to? I've never shied away from saying no to that job. Even jokingly, people have said it before. Don't you want to run for office? I absolutely do not. I don't. Same. It's no desire whatsoever.
Yeah, no, I don't envy the position at all for anyone. I wouldn't want it either. I don't. It's public office has never appealed to me. I've been teased that I should run as well but not because of my brains, because of my Kamala impersonations. You know,
it's your not beard really, double.
Yeah, I know, right? It's not really the pat on the back that I would like for it to be, but same, you know, I remember talking to somebody one time about, so I'm a big fan of, Mike Rowe is, he's the Dirty Jobs guy. Gosh, he's just such a all around likable guy, super smart. He has the right attitude and right, in my opinion, everything. And I remember at one point saying, geez, you know, why can't someone like Mike Rowe run for president or anyone similar, you know, just middle of the road, you know, loves America, but is just really balanced about everything. I think everything that he says. And, and the answer somebody said, well, it's because normal people don't want that job. They don't want to run for office. Right. They don't want that position. And I think that's absolutely true. You know, your average American you do have to be a very certain type of person to want to be able to do that. And it does come with qualities that are not exactly appealing either, you know?
Oh yeah. No, the work environment is, in my opinion, from, you know, at least my assessment is atrocious, truthfully.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been around enough politicians up close and personal to see the personalities that are in those jobs. And I can't imagine working around those personalities every day. Well, I mean, they only work like 100 days a year, but, you know, to be around them all the time and to be in that environment and that atmosphere all the time, I would be the most irritable SOB that anybody in the world would ever want to be around, just from the osmosis of it all. I mean, it would just be, you know, just ruin your day every day you get up just to be around that environment, that atmosphere.
So would like being there make you so disgusted and not want to be there so badly that, I don't know, you would maybe pull a fire alarm to get out of there?
Yes. I would pull it 10 times a day. I think Jamal Bowman, Democrat from New York, when the continuing resolution bill hit everybody's desk on Saturday, the assumption or the feeling from a number of folks was that the Republicans were trying to push it through because they were running out of time. So there wasn't enough time to review the 70-page bill. His solution to this, to buy time, was to, you know, walk from his office out into the hallway and pull the fire alarm.
Let's just show that picture one more time.
Yeah.
You can see him caught red-handed.
at first, there was an explanation that he thought it was the button for a door. It was a locking button of some kind that he felt he needed to push. to allow him to move through doors that he clearly had never moved through before, from his office to the floor. Whatever. That was the first explanation. That went out the window right away. And then there was the, he was in a panic. He was in a rush. He wasn't thinking.
Wanted to go vote so badly.
Yeah, so badly.
In such a hurry.
Yeah. And it's all garbage. You know, I mean, he's of course getting support from the crazy ladies on The View, you know, that, well, I know him. I don't know if you saw this. I know him. And I know that he would never do something that malicious. Sure, he would. You know who else does that? Seniors in high school on a spring day when they don't want to be in school anymore. They pull the fire alarm. Happened at my high school when I was a senior. Mm-hmm. 4 times in one afternoon, right? Just didn't want to be there. Kids kept pulling it. And you know solution. What happens? The fire department shows up because it's not a drill, right? They respond. And similarly, the same thing happened. You know, I don't know if the fire department actually showed up at the Capitol building, but I know the Capitol Police were involved. I know there was an immediate investigation begun to figure out what happened, who did it, and why. But now you've stressed out all of those first responders. You know that they probably had to clear the building, or at least begin to clear the building before they determined that it was safe to stay, right? You got staffers in there. You got all those people that you just put through, you know, an unnecessary stress over what turned out to be nothing. And I say that because every single Democrat except one supported the continuing resolution. So him pulling the fire alarm to buy more time meant absolutely zero, nothing. It was a stunt. It was total bullshit, irresponsible, and he needs to be held accountable.
Yeah, and by the way, it's a felony charge if that goes forward. Now, do we think it'll go forward? I mean, we couldn't find out who brought cocaine into the White House.
Good point.
So, I mean, if you can't figure that one out, with all the things that you have there, security measures, cameras, stuff, things, if they couldn't come to a conclusion on that, and we all know that obviously they could and did, they dropped it because they needed to drop it. And, I have about as high hopes for this as I did for that. But absolutely, it is something, you know, we're laughing about it because it's just irony, right? Like, it's just, you can't even believe that this, again, I mean, can't even believe that this is real life, that a grown-ass adult who's one of our congressman pulled a fire alarm, by the way, and I'm gonna put it up there, by the way, the picture that they showed of the doors, it's very, very clear. This is nothing. There was nothing confusing about this door and the signage, because that was one of the things he said too. Oh, the signage was, not clear. We've all been seeing fire alarm, those little red boxes, pretty much our whole lives. So I feel like we all know what that is.
Yeah, it was juvenile. I think, you know, one, the people from his district deserve better, but you get what you pay for, right? They put him in office, they voted him in, so you get what you pay for. This is the person that, you know, they want. Now, I wrote about this earlier when this first happened, and I got some snarky responses, you know, some passive aggressive stuff from people saying, "Oh, yes, well, the integrity of a candidate matters," you know, and it's a veiled reference at President Trump. And listen, you and I have talked about this before. We are neither one of us are huge Trump fans for a lot of the character flaw type reasons. So I'm not defending him. And at the same time, I absolutely am not defending Jamal Brown for the same reasons. This is a character flaw as a person. Has nothing to do with his political motivations, has nothing to do with anything else. It was a weak, weak attempt to delay something that he was unprepared to vote on. I don't know if he really felt that pressured. I don't know if it was an excuse. I don't know if it was stress made up in his mind. But his reaction to it as an elected official was weak sauce. Just weak.
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you, you touched on something that is like one of the biggest bones of contention with me these days. And it's that whole yeah, but Trump thing.
Yes.
that for every single thing, if you point out a factual occurrence, a thing that a Democrat or a liberal or anyone on the left does or did, their immediate response is, well, yeah, but Trump, blah, 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 you know, whatever they want to fill in the rest of the blank with. And I'll tell you, it actually it enrages me because it is so stupid, first of all. So you're basically saying that, okay, we're going to allow and excuse and justify this person's bad behavior because this person's bad behavior. I mean, that is literally the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I mean, that's like the only thing I can think of, it reminds me of the whole, like, if your friends jumped off a bridge, would you jump off too? You know, like, I mean, really, how are you justified? Bad behavior is bad behavior, period. And, you know, and the second part of that message is also piggybacks on what you just said. Stop assuming that I'm a Trumpster, you know, I'm a Trumplican, all those things. I mean, I don't care if you assume whatever the hell you want, but you're assuming wrongly. And you know what they say about when you assume, it makes we all know the saying. But yeah, you know, it's obnoxious, it's petty, and it's childish. And it's because you don't have a response. It's because you don't have any type of actual comeback or explanation or real justification for bad behavior, and they need to suck it.
Yeah, it is. It's a one. It's a weak argument, like you said. It's non-substantive. There's no substance to the argument of yeah, but Trump. It holds no. There's no backing there. It holds no weight. And then the associated or association that every single conservative is a Trump supporter. I understand it. We've said it. His base is big and it's deep and it's very, very loyal, right? But that's not everybody. And just because you are a conservative doesn't mean you're a Trump fan. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say really what that is. It's a stereotype is what it is. It's profiling. Let's turn the tables a little bit. It's profiling, right? And we've all come to the conclusion that even though profiling actually works, and every cop will tell you, and every military guy will tell you that profiling works. Like, we nabbed a lot of terrorists that way. And I know that your husband is a law enforcement guy, right? There's a lot of criminals that get caught because of profiling, because it works. We've all decided that as a society, profiling is bad. But that's exactly what they're doing, right? It's a stereotype. It's a profile.
Exactly. Conservative
must be a Trump supporter. You've got a red hat in your closet, you know, and it's garbage. It is insulting for a lot of us that just that assumption, the blind assumption being made about you is that you're a Trump supporter, Trump addict, Trumpite, Trumplican, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. There's a whole long list of them, right?
It's not us. You know, it's not everybody.
Right. And I'll tell you what, and I was, you know, in the early stages of this whole Trump train, you know, for as much as I had misgivings about him, it was those people. And this is what they, you know, they have the opposite effect of what they think they're going to have. You know, they think they're shaming people and making them cower. And they did for some. There's a lot of closet Trump supporters, you know, back in the day that would never say it out loud, but they just said it with their vote. I actually got a big kick out of, you know, wearing the hats or wearing the shirt just to rile them up. But then it gets to a point where you're like, all right, you know what? I can't join in on the pettiness. I kind of have to step above this here and stand on convictions and truths and reality and not just hype and propaganda and all of the things. And I think that's a trap that a lot of people have gotten into, these like diehard Trump supporters. I think they've kind of lost sight of a lot of things, you know, and they can't even, you know, they've got the blinders on and they can't see or tolerate anything negative being said about, we'll lose followers just for saying anything negative about Trump. You know, people get so diehard about it. But, you know, my feeling is I'm for this country, not for any particular person. So, and we talked about this last time, whoever yep. is going to, you know, pray to God, whoever can represent this country and us as a people, that's who would get my vote. And that's it. And that could be Trump. That might be Trump. Not ruling him out.
No. And you can't, because, right. you know, we've said it, you know, but, you know, speaking of very, you know, not appealing Trump activities and potential suitors to fill the White House. Nikki Haley in a birdcage. I mean, talk to me. Tell me.
Yeah. And, you know, and this whole story actually kind of makes me want to take back my maybe Trump because it's so petty. It's so childish. It's so stupid and embarrassing. I think that's like the word for it. Honestly, the whole episode is just another episode of Maury Povich, you know, and I mean, just come on, man. Really? The whole thing is an embarrassment and a distraction, really, from everything that is a real and what's going on in the room. By the way, for anybody who hasn't seen it or doesn't know the story, so Donald Trump referred on Truth Social, referred to Nikki Haley as a bird brain. And he called her this because he's mad at her because she, according to him, she promised him that she was not going to run against him. And now she's running against him. And now she is, you know, now she's bad news. And now we start with the childish name calling. So then what happened was apparently Nikki Haley got to her hotel suite to find, I'll show it again, this. It's a birdcage, as you can see, and it's from the Trump campaign, supposedly. Now, there's so many, I guess we have to use the word allegedly. Are we still using allegedly? I don't know. Allegedly, the Trump campaign took credit for it. And they're saying, yeah, because the reporter from, I think it's like the Messenger or something, Mark something or other. I'm sorry, Mark, I don't remember your last name, but he says he got a message from someone in the Trump campaign that said, you know, basically said, hey, make sure you cover this. We want this out there. And it's out there. It's out there. And of course, Nikki Haley put it out there as well. And she got some backlash. There were quite a few people on her thread there accusing her of fabricating the story for, you know, attention or sympathy or whatever. I'm doing my homework on her. I'm trying to learn more about her. Do I honestly think she would fabricate that? I kind of think not. And it definitely seems like something Trump and the Trump campaign would do, right?
I think, you know, time will tell, because this one, not that it should or shouldn't go away, but I'm sure it won't go away. What'll come out very quickly is if it is or has been fabricated, you know, there'll be some confirmation or denial that'll happen in the next, I don't know, 72 hours or so, because then it will, you know, move its way out of the news cycle. It will go away, but we'll get some resolution, I think, shortly. I have a hard time believing that, you know, that anyone from her campaign from, you know, would fabricate something like this. And by the way, you know, Chris Christie, you know, whiffed on the whole Donald Duck thing, right? Mm-hmm. We all, you know, and he's become a laughing stock because of it. Yes. You know, his face has become a meme.
No one up here is going to call you Donald Trump anymore. We're going to call you Donald Duck.
All right.
You know, and it's that old mirror. You know, he's got that weird look on his face. And
That guy.
President Trump went after him and said, listen, anybody who would come up with this nickname shouldn't even be running for president. You know, and then he turns around and he calls, you know, Nikki Haley a bird brain. Very unoriginal. And truthfully just weak. I don't like the name calling. I think it's beneath, you know, mm-hmm. our national level leadership, but he used to be at least pretty good at it.
Right.
Bird brain's not in his top 10.
I mean, she's, you know, efforts. Yeah. The woman is anything but a bird brain. And, you know, and didn't he appoint her to a UN ambassador? Yes. I mean, so come on. So you're saying, you know, you're essentially saying, I'm so stupid that I would put a bird brain in a position of power and authority and representation of the United States. So that's, you know, it really is a reflection on him in many ways, saying something so absurd. And she's obviously an extremely bright woman. And, you know, it's just embarrassing. It's just an embarrassing thing.
Yeah.
And foolish. And really, in my opinion, I think what it does is I think he tipped his hat. I think he just showed that he sees her as a true threat. You know, because what else would he waste his time? You know, why? And especially if she's somebody that could have, you know, potentially, if he were to get the nomination, potentially be a running mate. I mean, because if that were the case, that's somebody I would probably, maybe it's too soon for me, could see. We'll put it that way. Could see as a running mate for VP. And, you know, who knows? They all manage to forgive each other very quickly. Look at Kamala Harris and Biden, you know.
Yeah, exactly right. You're exactly right. I mean, this could be any one of a number of things, from 100% false to 100% true, and then become 100% irrelevant in equally, you know, quick amount of time. You know, if it turns out that President Trump does get the nomination from the Republican Party, you know, for him to turn around and go, ha ha, bird brain, just kidding. You know, how do you want me to be my vice president? totally plausible. And wouldn't surprise me even a little bit if that happened. But I think you're right in saying that this is a little bit of an acknowledgement that she is a viable candidate. And I think I think I'm a little bit more of a Nikki Haley fan than you are. But I think she is and I think President Trump just acknowledged that she is a viable contender. To at least maybe when it gets down to the last two or three, it would be him, her, and somebody else, DeSantis probably, you know, at the end game. But for sure, I think he's at least acknowledged that she is someone that he is keeping tabs on and is even maybe a little bit concerned about.
Yeah, there is you know, I don't have the numbers in front of you, but there's some polls that put her. I mean, obviously, no one's actually near Trump. It's, you know, kind of been between DeSantis and Nikki, and some polls have her ahead of DeSantis. And of course, a poll that's backed by the DeSantis team puts him up higher. Surprise, surprise. You know, I mean, so it's really hard to go by any of those things. We know that they have, you know, not had the best track record, especially when it comes to anything to do with Trump. So, you know, I mean, I think she definitely is one to watch, and you are right. I'm not quite on team Nikki yet. There are things I like about her. And the things that I do. So here's what I don't, it's not that I don't like it about her. It's that I'm not sure how to take it with her. I'm afraid that she will kind of blow whichever way the wind blows. I mean, she's kind of done that on Trump. She was very Trump, very not Trump, lukewater Trump, definitely not. You know, there was a lot of flip flopping there, I feel like, and it seemed to go with whatever the crowd that she needed influence with was saying. So that I don't like about her. Now, there's a flip side to that, that maybe, you know, we've talked about it in the last episode. We talked about being sick and tired of the division, the being their side and our side, your side, my side, tired of it. We want a unifier. Can Nikki Haley be a unifier? Maybe she can, but I do need to see more from her. What are your pros and cons on her?
The number one thing I look at with her, and the reason I think that, you know, she is the most appealing candidate. I think she has, in my opinion, a better chance of beating, as good a chance of beating President Biden as President Trump does. I don't think that any of the rest of the Republican candidates do. DeSantis, Vivek, certainly not Pence. You know, I don't think any of the rest of that crowd has a legitimate shot at beating President Biden. I think she does. And for a number of reasons. One, I think out of the entire Republican, you know, field that exists right now, she's the only actual diplomat, right? There's a difference between being a politician and being a diplomat. And being the president requires diplomacy. You know, you have a Secretary of State that does diplomacy for you. You have other, you know, cabinet members that do that. But you as the president are a diplomat and have diplomatic responsibilities. She, her experience as the ambassador to the UN provided that diplomatic experience. And some people, you know, see that as bending which way the wind blows. Some people see it as, you know, the world doesn't exist in black and white, right? Mm-hmm. Everything has a shade of gray to it. And a diplomat learns to operate inside the gray as opposed to the hard left, hard right, black and white kind of world that, or really the state that our nation's in right now. So I think she has the ability to navigate those things more so than any of the rest of the candidates, right? They're all selling themselves right now as, you know, hard on this, hard on that. This is it, you know, I'm not wavering, blah, 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 blah. And they're all trying to be a bunch of hard asses. And at times you need to be a hard ass. No question about it. Every president has had to draw a line in the sand, literally, figuratively. You have to do that. But 99% of the time, that's not the requirement. The requirement is somewhere in the gray. And I think she has the capability and the experience to do that. And the other candidates just don't. I think she'll be better for the country, but I think she's more electable than Vivek, than Scott, than Pence, than any of the rest of them, because she's going to appeal to a wider base. And you know, she's going to get a higher percentage female vote. You know, she is of Indian descent, right? She is an ethnic minority, right? So that plays into it too. Because listen, let's be honest. There are people that will vote that.
Yes, absolutely. We know that. We know that for certain that,
not speculation. People will vote that way.
Right.
And so she draws those votes in. And those are a lot of people. There are a lot of people in those demographics that are never Trumpers.
Right.
They just will not do it. So I think that's where I sit with her as a Republican candidate. I think she's the most viable, the most electable, outside of President Trump, you know, the only one that has the ability to beat President Biden, you know, heads up. And that's why I like her, because she is electable.
Sure. Yeah, I can see all that. I see great potential for that possibility. So here's my tough part. You know, I have been, as the governor of Florida, I have been a huge DeSantis fan for the whole time. I mean, I would have moved to that state in a second. If my husband would just retire, we could have been there already. And, I truly, truly loved the idea of him running, but running in 2024. That's what I wanted to see. I wanted him to stay in Florida longer. I felt like it would be a much better situation all around. And, so there's still part of me that has that DeSantis love. So I don't know. I don't know. I want to see how things play out. I see potential for Nikki. I honestly believe out of everybody that we're talking about, as far as these potential candidates I think it is going to be between DeSantis and Haley. And of course, they're going to be a distant second and third from Trump. But I think they're the only ones with a possibility of contending at all.
Yeah. And again, I'm not really hating on DeSantis. Mm-hmm. Based on his role as governor, I mean, Florida's a great place to be. You know, and he has done a bang up job as a governor. Unfortunately, that doesn't always translate to being president. Sure. It just doesn't. Right. And I know that people are going to turn around and go, well, well, you know, Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton, and, you know, and there's plenty of examples where governors could make that leap. Mm-hmm. But those days are not these days, right? The country is in a very different place now than it was 20 years ago, 40 years ago, you know, and I don't think it translates as well from back then to now. Again, bang up job as a governor. Florida is a great place to be. Their economy is awesome. They held out well during COVID. But I just don't see him as being able to carry that forward, you know, as into the White House and to try and run the country the same way. I don't think it translates. And
right.
I think that's kind of where you and I, you know, just, you know, are.
Yeah. There's where the roads diverge a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. I like his toughness, his, you know, and I know there's people that have a problem with that, and see it as, you know, maybe I've actually heard people say borderline dictatory type of thing. I just made a new word. You like it?
Dictatory.
New word.
Sounds like an appetizer at a potluck party.
Sounds delish.
Dictatory.
You know, and I could see where that could be very off-putting for people. You know, I happen to like that strength line and, you know, that get it done-ness of his. I find that very appealing. I'd like to see maybe a little bit more fire from Nikki, just a little more fire from her.
Fair criticism.
I don't know. And listen, I'm the first one to say I could be dead wrong on that. You know, she is, like I said, I'm going to give her all her pros. I mean, she is a solid conservative. I don't think she is wishy-washy on that at all. I think there's a lot of things I do like about her. I need to see a little bit more before I get on team Nikki, put on my hashtag team Nikki shirt.
Yeah. We've only got a year to deal with this. You're going to get money. Exactly. It's going to happen.
I think so. And it's going to change, right? It's going to change so many times, right? It's exhausting in that way. You know, by the time we get to that point, we just have exhaustion from it all.
And there's only like, you know, three or four more, you know, Trump lawsuits that we've got to deal with, you know, that'll affect all of this. There's, you know, obviously everything going on with Hunter Biden, which is going to, you know, lead. We just had the impeachment inquiry, right? So that's going on. Like, there's a million things that are going to happen between now and next November. But, you know, here's where we stand right now. You've got your favorite. I've got my favorite. And we'll see how the horses run. And, you know, a year from now, one of us, maybe one of us will be right. Maybe not. But that's where we're at right now.
That is where we're at. All right, guys, we're going to leave you off on that note. Feel free to chime in and tell us who your front contender is right now. If you even have one, let us know too. If you're feeling like you don't like any of them, that could be very much the case. So let us know. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button. We love chatting with you guys, and we will see you all in the next episode. Clay, you want to close it out for us?
Hey, as always, a blast. And they keep, we don't even ask for topics. They just find their way to our desktops, and here's where we sit. So, you know, we'll be back again doing it next week. And as always, for me, keep moving, keep shooting.
Take it easy, guys.